Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on Gold Radio Cafe. It's Friday, March 1st, 2013, and welcome to the Gold and Silver Financial Review. My name is Bosco Kacharovich, and this program is brought to you by Central Metals, your gold and silver bullion dealer. Our website is centralmetalscorp.com. Our phone number is 800-649-6722. We will be accepting email questions during the program, and you could send those to mail@centralmetalscorp.com. I'd like to apologize for the last week. We had some technical difficulties. We had to cancel the show. And besides that, Jeff wasn't available for the program. And I'd like to welcome Jeff back to the program here. Jeff, welcome back.
Hello, Bosco. Here it is, March 1st already, ladies and gentlemen. My goodness. Time flies when you're having calamity, does it not?
Yeah, it sure is. Let me give our listeners a couple of quotes here before we get started. Let's change it up today. Let's start out, actually, with the U.S.-Canadian dollar exchange. We got it. U.S. dollar is a little bit higher. It's at, this is the mid-market spot price at 102.8, so 2.8% over. And gold, we have spot gold is at 1576.12. Spot silver is at 28.58. So according to, well, if you look at last week, we haven't really changed much. The market's down a little bit, not much. I still think it's a good buying opportunity from the year highs. So, folks, if you're interested in getting into the bullion, now is a good time to start acquiring. Let me just give you some quotes on the general market here. The S&P 500 is down 3.15 at 1511.53. The Dow Jones is at is down as well at 2145. It's at 14,033. The Dow is still above that 14,000 level, which is good considering. Oil, crude oil is at $90.33. It's down $1.72. So the markets are showing some a little bit of weakness here. As you see, the U.S. dollar is a little bit stronger, so it's a, I guess, supposedly a flight to safety in the U.S. dollar, which is an imaginary safe haven, but we won't criticize because the facts are what they are, and that's where people are going. So, Jeff, you want to start out with the question here? I'll read it on air, and then maybe you can start off addressing it because it was addressed to you. Here we go. This is from one of our regular listeners, Frank, in Ontario. Mr. Dunphy, given the general and increasing lawlessness and corruption in the Anglo-American financial system, such as naked short selling, flash trading, and the fact that the Chinese say they have left the general U.S. stock market because they no longer trust it, is it wise, in your opinion, to be invested in gold and silver mining stocks? Can the powers that be, that's question one, he's got two questions here, can the powers that be who are suppressing the price of gold and silver control matters so as to prevent investors who own the mining shares from profiting in the long run? Well, Jeff, what do you think?
Well, this is, Bosco, this is an interesting question because it speaks to some of the controversy that you and I have been voicing over the past several months. Now, the first issue at hand is the lawlessness, which is the compromising of the legal system. We have many posts you can find, ladies and gentlemen, on the fact that the bankers who have been found to be laundering money and doing all kinds of mischievous things have not been let alone charged. None of them have been even addressed. They get a rap on the wrist or a rap on the knuckles with a Nerf bat. So my opinion is that the system is so close to collapse that the short-term pursuit of monetary gain is the only thing that is in their radar screen. They don't care about long-term gains anymore. They're very focused on short-term gains. So really what they're doing is they're playing the short-term hand as fast as they can, because they do know at a certain point in time that the market's going to fall apart. So they're trying to, it's a game of musical chairs, if you will. So yes, naked short selling, the manipulation of the markets, we've seen actually that the Canadian banks have come out today with enormous earnings increase, beat the market's expectations. And what they are talking about is that the retail part of their organization, the bank lending, is sliding off and slowing down. But their fees, their capital market numbers, and their stock market gains are higher. Which brings me back to the point that Bosco just said, is that the actual stock market indices, either the S&P or the Dow Jones, are high. But the reason they're high is they're relatively high. They're not real high, merely because there's been so much monetary stimulus. There's been so much printing of money. So really, the stock market is declining merely because they've increased the number of dollars in the system. Okay, now the powers who be, we now are getting into the place where they're being very brazen in how they're manipulating, whether it's the price of gold and silver or whether it's the price of mining shares. Now, let's think long-term for a moment, Bosco, and let's think long-term nefariously. Let's go out and short-sell or manipulate mining stocks with gold and silver, because we want to actually own these companies, because there will be a point in time when gold and silver are going to need to be the backstop of a new financial system, a new fiscal system, because really the printing of the money that is going on is merely backed by the creditworthiness of the U.S., which I will get to in a moment. So is there manipulation going on? I don't know. I mean, color me skeptical, Bosco, but a blind man on a galloping horse can see unequivocally that both gold and silver and the mining stocks, even the stock market itself, is manipulated, because there are now just a handful of banks that manage trillions and trillions of dollars. So, yes, I would suggest buying gold and mine stocks as the ideal. It's a wise thing to do, because I think gold and silver are precious metals and commodities that are useful and used in the world. Now, that being said, the way the market works now is the only capacity to make money in the market is in terms of short-term trading. In value investing, which would be a Warren Buffett coined phrase, if you will, is long since spent, because we're heading towards a fiscal cliff that is just, it's not if, it's merely a function of when. So now I want to dive into a couple of things that have come across my radar screen this week. And
Jeff,
the first,
Jeff, if you want to just hold that thought for a second, I just want to back up what you just said. Okay, for our listeners who are looking at looking at the mining stocks and so on, and first off, I think manipulation is just part of the market, and you just have to live with it. Okay, this is throughout history, and I think Jeff mentioned it before on this program, the manipulation of markets back in it was the 1700s era when the Rothschilds were. It was the 1800s during the war in Wellington.
And so on.
Yeah. Okay. So, but if you look at, this morning I was looking at the chart for the, where is it here? The HUI index. Okay. The unhedged gold miners. Okay. Right now, that index is trading at 352. Okay. It hasn't been this low since July of 2009, okay? That's the unhedged gold miners index. Now, the price of gold in July of 2009, let me just get the price up here. Oops, I'll have to go to a monthly chart here. Okay, July of 2009, the price of gold was trading in the range of around $950 or so. Okay, so the price of gold right now is $1,576. Okay, the mining index is back to where the price of gold was trading at $950. So that just tells you that the miners are way undervalued, and I think now is a tremendous opportunity to get into mining stocks. They've been just, it's the big decline started in October. It jumped up and then it started to turn around. But I think this is just a screaming buying opportunity in the mining shares. I mean, of course, you have to pick your own stocks. We don't do that here, but as an index, I think it's way undervalued. And I think it's a great buying opportunity for the miners when you compare it to the price of bullion. I mean, it's selling at a huge discount. So I just wanted to back up what you said. You know, it's exactly true. I don't know what other indicators you could use, but I think
Bosco makes a great point. Bosco makes a great point, Frank, and that is relative to where it has been and relative to the market and relative to the prices of these commodities, they are very good buying opportunities. That's the relativity issue. And then the trepidatious issue is, do you want to go into a capital market thing that is potentially gamed? Now, that's okay if you know where they're going and you can play that hand, absolutely. And that's where the gain. I mean, our predisposition, as you all know, is to be actually holding the physical commodity, because there may be a point in time where somebody does something silly like Mexico did, or like London did, or like Zimbabwe did, and they said, we're going to either devalue our currency in order to facilitate our financial machinations, or we're going to throw the currency out and we're going to start a new currency. That's a bit of a precarious play. But no, Bosco makes a very good point, and that is, relatively speaking, the gold and silver mining shares are very inexpensive relative to where
it's up to the listeners. I mean, you know, you have to talk to your stockbroker or your financial advisor and, you know, get some information on their picks. I know there's just recently, I guess Bank of Montreal is they have a really good mining analysts there. They just did a conference in Florida this week. So, you know, as a resource, you might want to check out their analysts. The Gold Seek Radio has some good stock recommendations. The International Forecaster, which we're a supporter of, they have some stocks there. So, I mean, look around, get some information. We can't give you any advice on mining companies, but generally speaking, I think that, if you have a diversified mining portfolio, it's a good buying opportunity if you have funds available. So anyways, we'll finish with that. Jeff, you want to continue on what else you wanted to discuss? Hello?
Sorry, Bosco. I had me on mute. I was coughing, and I forgot to take me off mute. I'd like to revisit a comment that we made a couple of weeks ago before we went off air for a bit, and that was about how in Davos, in Switzerland this year, all the cognoscenti got together and chatted a little about how they were fretful a bit about the U.S. debt. So it's come across my screen in the last little bit that there's been one of the hedge fund guys named Stanley Druckenmiller, and he's been yabbering away at the debts and talking about the demographics and how the debt gets played. So now let's put it into mathematical context that somebody in grade five could figure out. And that being said is this, that the U.S. generates $3.5 trillion of revenue every year, ballpark, or sorry, they generate $2.5 trillion. They spend $3.5 trillion. So they're $1 trillion in the glue. They pretend they have $16 or $17 billion of debt. However, one of the things that Druckenmiller has been talking about, and certainly one of the things that the people in Davos were talking about, is they have unfunded liabilities. So now currently, we've just had an increase in their debt ceiling. This is they're sequestering each other to yabber around and see that they raise the debt ceiling so they can pay things off. And they're talking about austerity. Well, austerity to the tune of $50 or $60 or $80 billion is an interesting context when you're talking about trillions of dollars here. Now, the point I'm making, if you're going $1 trillion in the glue every year and you have pretend debt of 16, which is real debt, but it's what they choose to present, the real unfunded liabilities of the U.S. goes as high as $200 trillion. So this is what all these guys are walking around sort of pulling on their hair going, it kind of doesn't make sense. And what also is coming to light is this is going to get progressively worse and worse. Now, when the austerity measures come up, the politicians aren't saying, maybe we need to back off on Medicare, Medicaid, or Social Security. In fact, what they do is their austerity measures are not pointed at those at all, because austerity would cause them votes. So again, we fall back into the observation, Bosco. Everything's in this for the short term. The politicians are saying, I only have 4 years to do this, so help, you know, God help me if I have to stay in politics or I have to stay in power, I need the votes. So I'm not gonna actually do what's needed and make the hard cuts. I will just make the soft cuts and make somebody else suffer. Now, that being said, let's look to Italy and let's look to Portugal and let's look to their unemployment numbers. Their unemployment numbers, Bosco, for their youth are broaching in on 50%. Okay, so Greece is now at about 60, Portugal is now at about 40, and Spain is north of 50. Now, here's an interesting aspect in terms of unemployment. You get a whole bunch of upset and a whole bunch of pissed off youth. If any of them are on unemployment, which some of them may be, but as that starts to, you're going to have a huge upset over all of this stuff. So there is a potential for a very volatile response to a whole bunch of this unemployment. And we see the banks coming out and saying they're earning lots and lots of money. Again, what they're doing is they're playing in a system that they control, they run, and they game. So austerity sounds good in theory, but really what happens is the people who will respond to it have the potential to respond violently. And that brings us back to the observation of not once, but many times us speaking about the fact that the Department for Homeland Security is buying bullets. Is there a potential for somebody to get upset and say, you American wanking senators and congressmen, you've gamed the system and you've bankrupted us, and now you're about to, you know, when we get upset, you're about to shoot us? Sorry, we're sliding into terrible topics, but nonetheless, this is food for thought and something that I wanted to bring to the forefront as we ramble on.
Yeah, Jeff, I just wanted to comment on that. You know, actually, I had a client in yesterday that brought something to my attention I never thought about. You know, you have all the U.S. military is, you know, in the Middle East and so on, and there's all this talk. A lot of people want the soldiers to come back, and I'm not making a choice here, a decision, what's better for U.S. or not, but just stating a fact, you know, if the soldiers come back, if they make plans to have all these soldiers come back, what are they going to do? You know, there's no jobs here for them.
Oh, good point.
You know, so what? I, like, this was a client of mine that brought this to my attention, and I never thought about that. If they stop all the wars and send all the soldiers home, those soldiers have nothing to do here. There's no jobs. So it's almost like they have to keep the wars going on to keep the soldiers busy. You know, it's not good for them. You know, it's not right. But unfortunately, we don't have, you know, speaking from the U.S. point of view, there's no jobs for them to do. So what are they, you know, and also to address your question about the, you know, more, I guess, military spending and more control in the U.S., if the soldiers do come back, you know, what if the U.S. finds something for them to do and they say, well, we're going to have martial law. You know, there's something for you to do. Control the...
Yeah, there's the threat between London.
So,
yeah.
I never thought of that, but it's, you know, an interesting point of view, which makes sense. I mean, if you send the soldiers home, you know, there's not much for them to do here, so...
Well, exactly. And so, I mean, there's three things I want to sort of bandy around, Bosco. One is the debt's not getting better. They're not paying it down. What they're pretending to do is deal with it, but they're dealing with it as a ruse. They're saying, well, we're giving it attention, but their intention, their attention is being given to the debt. They talk about it. Their intention is never to pay it off. And not only that, it's to print money into infinity, which is what some of the pundits on the internet would speak to. So they have to, what they're doing is they're borrowing their way out of debt. Well, there is historically many examples of what does transpire when this happens. It's that easy. Now, the issue at hand is the unrest, the powers that be in various places, and this will be in Portugal and in Italy and in Spain and in Greece. The powers that be are looking, going, if these guys get pissed, we're in trouble because they will start acting violently. And is that a possibility? It has to be. They have to be considering that in that regard. And again, this, I come back to the fact, and ladies and gentlemen, do go look up on the internet that the Department of Homeland Security is buying hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of bullets. Why? That just is a very curious observation. They're not stupid, these guys. I mean, these guys are very clever. They've got brains, and they've got, you know, there will be a point in time where people will stop. They will wake up to the fact that we've been manipulating them, and we have effectively confiscated the purchasing power of their dollar. I will reiterate, and I know this is sort of, Bosco, we say this so often that it's deja vu all over again, but the value of the U.S. currency has dropped by 99% in the last 100 years. This is an invisible tax, and it's imposed on the economy by the bankers and the politicians. The politicians agreed to the bankers gaming the system and playing the system, where the bankers would print money and lend it to the politicians to pay their bills. And the politicians liked that because they could then borrow. Remember, Bosco, $3.5 trillion they spend, $2.5 trillion they bring in. So they could borrow to stay in power. So we have that conclusion to look at, and we fall back into this, oh my, not only do they not intend to pay it back, but their intention is if they're ever asked to pay it back with violence, they will either print the money or they will either welch on the debt and use military force in order to facilitate that. I don't know. It's happened before. Will it happen again? Your guess is as good as mine. I think
I'd like to cut in here. I don't want our comments and that to be taken as, you know, conspiracy or that kind of, you know, simply we're just stating the facts. And some people, I know that, you know, some of the topics that we discuss are not very pleasant, but this isn't new, folks. This has happened throughout history. It just... You know, if you read history, there's a lot worse things that happened to civilizations and countries and so on. You know, it's just a cycle that we're going through. And you know, Jeff and I just try to shed some light on what's happening and, you know, how you can protect your wealth. Because obviously the powers that be aren't really creating wealth. They're just creating money just to keep the system going. It's kind of like a treadmill. You're running and you're moving and you're expanding energy and wasting energy, but you're not going anywhere. You know, so what we try to do here is, you know, just to bring things to your attention and hopefully, you know, realize that this is nothing new. It's not like we're radical thinkers or anything. This is just, you know, things that are happening throughout history, and we try to kind of, you know, take a different perspective and take the realistic view of how you can, you know, analyze these situations and protect yourself. So, you know, it's an educational process.
We'll get back to the economics of the velocity of money and also the size of the monetary base. And one of the things that happens in terms of pure economics, I mean, economic theory, and certainly what they've seen economically, is if you have the velocity of the money increasing, then you're okay. And if you have the size of the monetary base increasing, then you're okay, according to the guys that run the company or the country, sorry. So you increase the size of the monetary base, that's an inflationary gig. You increase the velocity of the money, that is inflationary as well. However, the velocity of the money has dropped precipitously, and the size of the monetary base in the States has dropped or has increased astronomically. So you have two scenarios that are pointing to a devaluation of the currency. I mean, it isn't as if there's a controversy over what's being done. It's a function of, as we've said on many occasions, they have no other option. Which, you know, comes back to the thing, when your only tool is a hammer, you look at everything like they're nails. And so we fall back into the place. The only way they can get their way out of this is to print their way out of it, which is disastrous relative to the purchasing power of the currency.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So, you know, we're near the end of the program here. Just wanted to, you know, let people know if you're interested in the gold and silver products we have available. You can visit our website at centralmetalscorp.com. We also have private and fully insured vault services available. We do ship internationally, and you can store your gold in places like Singapore, Hong Kong, Switzerland, U.S., Canada, and so on. We have a vault services company that we deal with, and you can store your metal in various different countries. So, Jeff, any closing remarks here?
Well, one of the aspects I wanted to touch base on was interest rates and what has transpired in terms of banks being flooded with money, and also how the policymakers cannot afford to let interest rates go up merely because the increasing size of debt has been so high that as you pile interest payments on top of that, you make everything worse. So you will see a bond market. We are seeing a bond market of that is flat relative to and overpriced relative to where interest rates should be. And interest rates, they're being manipulated, as we get back to Frank's concept. They're being manipulated by the guys who run the market, because really, as you're in grade five and you're saying, we walk through that math, and then you're saying, well, is this company, the US of A, is it going to be able to pay its debts? Well, no. And if that's the case, the interest rates go through the roof, because that's a risk factor.
Right.
So everybody's
right.
Kind of gamed the system. They're all pretending to kick the can down the road. Short-term thinking, short-term gain for long-term pain is the motto we want to leave you with today.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So with that, I think we'll close off the program for this week. Jeff, it's great to have you back. Folks, stay tuned next week. We have the program again. And, you know, I just want to give you some closing quotes here. Gold is, hasn't changed much. It's 1574. Silver is at, let me see here. We got silver at 2854, so not much changes. Anyways, folks, thank you for joining us today. Jeff, thanks for coming back, and have a great weekend. Folks, we'll see you again next week.
Thanks, Bosco. See you all soon. Cheers.
All right, bye.